أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, Allah Azza wa Jalla relates in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 21 and 22, O people, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, so that you may become God-fearing. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا, who spread out the earth for you and built the sky, who sent water down from it and with that water produced things for your sustenance. Do not knowing this set up rivals to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to God. If you look at what we've done so far in Surah Al-Baqarah, we've done relating to the mu'mineen, the disbelievers, and we just finished munafiqeen last week. Three groups. Now this present verse that we are reading today addresses all of these groups together. You can kind of say that the Quran is now giving a certain message, the first one of it, from Surah Al-Baqarah in itself. And here Allah Azza wa Jal is asking the creation to give up the worship of created things and come into the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the primary message of the Quran. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Ya ayyuhan nas. Generally the case, according to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala and certain other companions, when it's a Makki surah, you will find Ya ayyuhan nas, meaning O people. When it's a Madani surah, revealed in Madinatul Munawwarah, then you will find Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people that believe. Because the general aspect was people were believing in Madinatul Munawwarah. But in this surah, which is a Madani surah, if you remember, Surah Al-Baqarah is actually a Madani surah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is a few times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates here Ya ayyuhal nas. And it comes up to include all of these three categories, not just the Muslims, but also the disbelievers and also the munafiqeen. In Ya ayyuhan nas, an-nas, this word signifies a person or a man in general, so everyone literally. And this word covers all of the groups that we've done before. Then Allah Azza wa Jal is trying to let us know. Imam al-Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi relates that Allah Azza wa Jal is notifying everyone, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. As for the Muslim, Allah is saying that always, da'im, worship Allah. You're worshipping Allah today, do it da'im, meaning always. And as for the non-Muslim, Allah is saying, you need to start worshipping Allah. Or the munafiq, you need to start worshipping Allah. The next obviously comes in. Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu. That's the third. U'budu. And we have worship. We relate u'budu, worship. Rabbakum, your Lord. And the Arabic word ibadah, what is it? It actually connotates that somebody's energy. Like we use our energy for certain things. That's the way we are as human beings. So as our energy is expanding, is being spent in total obedience to something. This is ubudu, right? To somebody. And to shun disobedience out of one's awe and awe reverence, This is u'budu. This is what u'budu means. Like, what does ibadah mean? Right? It's not just, yes, that's a very shari'i meaning of leading salah. That's a shari'i meaning. But what does u'budu mean per se? And it's very interesting to think of this. That u'budu means expanding all your energy, or whatever energy you have, most of it, to the total obedience to something or somebody, and shunning disobedience because of awe and reverence. That's u'budu. Right? And this is why we're saying, Allah is telling us, that this u'budu should be done only for Allah. No one else. Right? Now it makes a bigger picture. And ibadah, what is also ibadah? Worship. Ibadah means obedience. وَالْعِبَادَةُ الطَّاعَةُ is what the Mufassirun say. وَالْعِبَادَةُ الطَّاعَةُ Ibadah means obedience. And obedient is that one or that person who submits to the ways or the laws of Allah, like the Arabs would say, وَعَبَدْتُ فُلَانًا I made this person into a servant. Yeh mera nokar hai. I made him into a servant. I tell him go here, he goes there. I tell him go there, he goes there. I tell him to sit, he sits. I tell him to stand up, he stands up. You've heard people, we hear people do this day and age. Yeh toh mera, you know, I can do whatever I want with him. This is ibadah. That Allah says, read salah. We read salah. Allah says, don't do this. We don't do this. This is meant to be ibadah. And this is why, according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, wherever the word u'budu comes, it would mean, metaphorically, wahidu, meaning only worship the oneness and the essence of Allah. That's what he means. When u'budu comes, Allah is telling us, wahidu, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going back to the picture, we've had the believers, disbelievers, munafiqeen, analogy of the munafiqeen. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is trying to give a universal message here. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, u'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord. And this u'budu now, you know, have a comprehensive meaning. What does u'budu mean? Right? Now the next question is, out of all of the names of Allah, all of the names of Allah, Allah uses rabbakum or rabb. Allah could have said, Ya ayyuhan nasu abudu, worship your Lord who is Kareem. Worship your Lord who is Jabbar. Worship your Lord who is Ghafoor. Could have used any of these words. Worship your Lord who is Allah. Any of these words could have been placed here. So the question is, why did Allah place Rabbakum? And the reason for this is that in the present context that we are talking about, the word Rabb, and we said this before, indicates that it nurtures a person. Rabb is that nurtures someone. And we said this in Surah Al-Fatiha many years ago now. We said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah states there as well, Rabb. Right? Because Rabb is something you can see yourself. Allah is nurturing you. In every single way, a person grows, is being nurtured. Intellectually, is being nurtured. How did all this happen? It's a question that a person asks. The food does this. The ability to understand with the senses does certain things. The rational ability does certain things. But the question is, who gave all of this? Who gave? It's the Rabb that has nourished you. Right? And this is why we said in Surah Al-Fatiha, in that time they would call a mother or a woman living in the house, they would say, Rabbul Bayt. So they wouldn't say that she's a, subhanAllah, like it's become such a derogatory term now that she's a housewife. We've made it into such a low term. Ajib, this is the highest of all. They would say this is Rabbul Bayt. She's the nourisher of the house. She nourishes the children. She makes them, stabilizes them. She nourishes the whole house. This is what they would say. This is where Rabb came from. that we'll use for Rabb. Right? In the very same manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us that Allah is the Rabb. He's nourished you. So all of these people, all of these groups are being told, look at what Allah has, number one, given to you. Right? And here, Rabb also is that who changes a person gradual stages of development from a drop of water into a healthy, sentient and rational being, who provides the means for the person's sustenance and growth. This is a Rabb, is nourishing. And this is why what Allah Azza wa Jalla is doing here is making the person think that, Ya ayyuhan nas, who are you going to worship? You're going to worship the one that has given you the ability to nourish. And such a power, Allah Azza wa Jal, that you, u'budu, worship Allah, who's your Rabb. Then Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, who created you, right? Who wasn't created himself. Do not worship something which is created. Now, what is the greatest gift that we have? Right. Now remember, we're talking 1400 years ago. You know, today we live in a materialistic world. So if I ask the greatest gift we have, somebody might say a Ferrari or something. So I have to be careful of what we ask in today's day and age. Right. 1400 years ago, if you ask, what's the greatest gift? Right. They would surely say life. Being living. And it is, even today, right, the greatest gift that we have is life. No life, everything else is gone. It's like a Ferrari, it doesn't make a difference. If you have no life, what are you going to do with it? It's going to go be somebody else's. Right? So the greatest gift that we have is life. And every other blessing you have depends on this one thing. So, as we said, you know, you can be the king of the world. Right? Let's put it into such a, you know, amazing context. Somebody comes to you and says, you know what, you are the king of the world. Only one problem, you're going to die in the next minute. Right? It's basically pointless. Because you can shout to the rooftop, I'm king of the world, but by the next minute, all of these, the whole blessing that you had is all gone. Right? Or somebody comes up and says, you know what? You're a good guy, I'll give you £1 million. Right? But then after, once he's given you £1 million, the next minute you're gone. What benefit is £1 million to you? Nothing. Right. So life is the greatest blessing. It's without a shadow of doubt. And here, Allah Azza wa Jalla is stating, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Why are we worshipping Allah? Right. What is the reason? And we've done this before. There was other reasons right at the beginning we've done. But now we're talking to all three groups. That you've done this. Right. We've seen your true colors, all three groups. But you know what? Come back to Allah. This is the message Allah is giving. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. Why? That the quality of giving existence to what did not exist before, and of producing from the darkness and filth of the mother's womb a creature as amazing, as noble as the human being, is Allah. He has been able to do this. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi here relates, to think of Allah in His present Zat, meaning to think of Allah in His essence, in Allah's essence, is incomprehensible for a person. Allah is too much to understand. The reason being that it is said, لَا فِقْرَةَ فِي رَبِّي, that you cannot comprehend Allah Azza wa Jal. As humans, it's impossible. Right? We cannot comprehend Allah. So, Allah is understood by comprehending the creation of Allah. When a person understands the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this would lead the person to comprehending the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why the first thing Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla relates, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, who created you and those before you. Allah created you and those before you. You know, the Meccans at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people of Mecca, they believed in Allah generally. There's always a few here and there, but they generally believed in Allah. But they also believe that there are other gods that take them closer to Allah. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to them. Just as their predecessors died with the will of Allah azza wa jal, they would share the same fate. Just as many nations before were extinguished with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Close to the people of Makkah, by the way. The people of Aad. Right? So it is telling them that look at yourself who created you. Then look at who created the people that created you. Right? Or look at your predecessors. Does it not make you think that some of them were arrogant in the world and Allah destroyed them? And the people of Mecca knew this. Some of them didn't want to believe in Allah, but they finished also. And a question that arises here is Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ created you, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ created people before you, but it doesn't say مِنْ بَعْضِكُمْ and the people after you. It doesn't say that. It just says created you and the people before you. It doesn't say مِنْ بَعْضِكُمْ. And the reason for this is there will not be any ummah to succeed the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hence, this is also an isharah, a way to say that there will not be an ummah after you. There will not be a nation after you. Right? It gives a small hint to us also. And here Allah Azza wa Jal has started first, u'budu, that worship your Lord. Right? And we said worship in his essence. Not worship as just in salah. You know, sometimes this is an issue that sometimes we say, when we think of worship, what do we think of? Namaz. Zakat. Ramadan, Roza. This is worship. Right? These are acts of worship. But we're talking about worship to that specific aspect. That when we are talking about worship here, we are literally talking about a person that submits themselves to something or someone. Meaning submits themselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. And will not disobey that something or someone because of awe and reverence. Meaning again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are الَّذِينَ So worship Allah, u'budu, worship Allah. And because He created you, number one. And He created the people before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you may become God-fearing. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ One translation would be, you become God-fearing. A second translation would be, so that you may be protected. That would be the second translation. You could use وَتَتَّقُونَ also. Now, number one, لَعَلَّ This word, لَعَلَّ It has various, it could have various meanings here. So number one, it could be translated as, so that you may save yourselves. You may, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ You may save yourselves and be protected. Right? Meaning save yourselves from fire of Jahannam. Or it could also be, you may protect yourselves from what? From the evil. Or protect yourselves from the fire of Jahannam again. What Allah Azza wa Jal is rating here is hope to attain salvation and paradise is only when one worships Allah Azza wa Jal alone and does not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, tattaqoon, if you want protection, right, tattaqoon also comes with protection. If you want protection from everything around, from the munafiqeen also, from the disbelievers also, from X, Y, and Z, whatever you want, then you know what? Start worshipping only one Allah. And you will be protected when you do this. And this word, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّ So that you may become. That's what we've translated as. Which indicates expectation or hope. لَعَلَّ You may become. Which is like expectation Umid, as we would say, right? Hope. And is used when it's an occasion which is not definite. Meaning a certain action or event is not definite. It can be actualized, but it's not definite. Now, if a person possesses iman and believes in tawheed, in consequence, we would say, he attains salvation and go to heaven. Right? In consequence. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has promised this. But here the certainty has been expressed in terms of expectation or hope in order to make us realize no human action by itself can become salvation, as salvation is needed with the mercy of Allah also. This is why لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, right? That's number one. That may be because you need the mercy of Allah to go to Jannah. But the reason being able to do good deeds is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi relates, when the Quran relates لَعَلَّ, that it may be so, right? Or so that you may become. When it comes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes for certainty. Right? And the reason why it's used, لَعَلَّ is used here, is because this is kalamullah, without shadow of doubt. It's the word of Allah. But it was from Allah to relate to us those words that we can understand, we use in our daily language. Because if other words were used, then we wouldn't really understand it. Right? We have to be able to understand the word of Allah, or there's no point really. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the terms that we use as human beings, لَعَلَّ, maybe so that you can become like this. Right? In the very same manner, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this, He uses لَعَلَّ, but it actually means for certainty. Mean that you definitely, if you do this, you would be protected, or you become God-fearing. And also, the Arabs at the time in the classical Arabic, they used لَعَلَّ, so when they wanted to give advice, they would use the word لَعَلَّ. So for example, in today's day and age, if you say to your child, he comes to you and he says, I've got two job offers, right? I've been accepted for both. And he's talking to the parents. And he says to the parents, which one do you think I should take? I think I should take this one. He says, I think I should take job offer B, right? The parents are, mashallah, well-versed in the field. It's something else that we should understand, that they have to be well-versed in the field, right? They're well-versed in this field, and they say, you know what? With our experience, our time in this world working, take job offer A. Because it will be so that you probably will become successful more, and it will benefit you more, for whatever reasons. But here, to an extent, they've given their experience, their knowledge of the field, as we just said, and they've said that most likely if you take this one, you will become much more better off. Right? And they kind of know that already, because they've been through it. But again, they've used the word to, they've given this advice by using la'alla, that it's better you become better off. Or somebody comes and says to the parent, I think, you know, I should stop school after S5. Right? I want to go and do X, Y, and Z. Then people come. And the parent says, do you know what? You can do X, Y, and Z, but please go and do this. Or go to university. You have ability, go university. It's so that you become successful in X, Y, and Z, but you have something to fall back on. Right? I'm just giving examples, the hypothetical examples, by the way. Right? So before somebody says to me that X, Y, and Z is better, that's not the point here. Right? But what I'm trying to say is, just like we as insan, as human beings, use this to encourage someone, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, to give advice to someone, in the very same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reading to us, that worship one Allah only. مِن قَبْلِكُمْ, He created you, created the people before you, so that you may be protected, so that you may become God-fearing. Meaning that you will become this if you do this. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then relates, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَانْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, meaning who spread out the earth for you and built the sky, who sent water down from it, and with that water produced things for your sustenance. Do not knowing this, after even knowing this, do you set up rivals to Allah? Subhanallah. This verse recounts some other qualities of Allah regarding the act of nurturing. This is the first thing. We talked about ourselves first. Right? مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Right? Allah nurtured you and nurtured the people before you. Right? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And Allah created you, created the people before you. Now, part of nurturing is also to ensure food and safety. Right? That's part of, you know, in the house you have children. Right? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first spoke about ourselves, us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates about the external, the two most important things. Right? And these two are a great blessing from Allah that has given to us. The first one, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. Allah has made the earth for you, or spread the earth for you. فِرَاش, meaning something, you know, we usually say this, something which is not soft, not fluid like water, not hard as rock. Meaning Allah has made the earth perfection for insan, so your necessities can be completed on this earth. Whether you're, you know, this earth, you can walk on it, harvest on it, sleep on it, make wheat out, you can, you know, as I said, harvest on it, take fruits out of it. SubhanAllah, I can do everything on this earth. Right? Now, why is this so important? Think about 1400 years ago, that desert Arab, right? For when they're traveling, or even when they're out, they use the earth for everything. Literally everything. Want to sleep? Make a tent and sleep. Right? There's no aspects of just going to a hotel. Right? Firash is also used in the vocabs as a bed. As a bed. Allah has gave you the greatest aspect is to be able to sleep on this earth. Right? And sleep is firash, you know, even when we sleep on our beds, or we sleep on that in the hotel, whatever it may be so. This is a great, we know when we get to sleep, then wake up, alhamdulillah, I've had a good sleep. It's such a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number one is Allah is telling us, firash, that look at what we have given you on this earth. This earth is everything for you. Every single thing you want it to do, it does it. And Allah uses the earth first, because the earth is what we are used to. The sky, we can see and stuff, but we don't use it for many, many different things. Yes, unless you're a very specific job, but generally, we can see it. Firash, we use it for everyday life. And this is why Allah then says, وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ. Allah has made the sky بِنَاءَ, like a beautiful ceiling, like an ornamented ceiling, you know, something beautiful. Now this for the desert Arab, right? He wants to go sleep, he would just literally go sleep, the bed would be the ground, and the sky would be the ceiling. That's the way it would work. Right? And this is the first greatest gift that Allah Azza wa Jal gave. And without this, there is no dunya. It's the reality of it. There's no world. And as Allah then says in another verse, وجعلنا السماء سقفا محفوظا وهم عن آياتها معرضون. We made the sky a protected ceiling. وهم عن آياتها معرضون. And yet they turn away from its wonders. Meaning there's so much wonders in the sky and science proves all of these wonders. That's not my job. But you see, subhanAllah, even of these wonders, you know, everything within a millisecond has to be perfect. This is only done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah then says, فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. Two bounties we've been given. Earth, sky. The first one, you know, as insan, what the two great bounties that we have in this world. One is sleep. The second one is eat. So two great bounties. Sleep, eat. Right? That's the reality of it. Sleep and eat. So فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah brings from this earth, that was a bounty, blessing, fruits. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. Sorry, وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. Allah bring forth fruits with His water and to provide nourishment to the creation from them. So meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the earth, you get your water and you get your fruits. Right? As we said, sleep, eat and drink. And these are the greatest ni'mats of Allah. You know, when you want to enjoy a blessing, after you've had your great sleep, right? Can't function without the sleep. After you've woken up, the most best thing from earth that's natural is fruits, thamarat, which are sweet. Right? Meaning it's come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this is why Allah azza wa jalla uses thamarat. Could have used any other fruit, other food as well. But thamarat, because it's come from the earth. Right? And it's sweet also. It's something that you see. And obviously, 1400 years ago, the desert Arab didn't have meat every day like we do. MashaAllah. Meat, chicken, you know what we have. SubhanAllah. But that wasn't even something in the mind. But the fruits, subhanAllah, that's something that was there. And when it's hot and you have cold fruit, or you have fresh fruit, subhanAllah, amazing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then relates this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Number one is Allah, before this Allah says, فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. We take out fruits for the person. رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. For your sustenance. You know, all of this, the sky, the earth, the fruits that come from the earth, the water that we get, that is all being made for insan. That's all been made for insan. It hasn't been made wasi. It's made for the human. Rizqan lakum. This is your sustenance. We've given this is for you to have. Then Allah says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not make rivals to Allah. أَنْدَادًا, the plural of nid. And nid is something which you make parallel to something else. You make the same, barabar. And this is why, you know, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they believed in Allah. Right? We said this before. That's why I said I'm going to come back to this. They believed in Allah. But they made rivals with Allah. They would say that this God, it takes us closer to Allah and it can do this, 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 this. Right? So they would make rivals with it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is saying, I created you. I created the ones before you. Worship Allah. I am the one that given you fruits from the ground, water to drink, the sky and the earth. Why are you making andad? You're setting up rivals with me. What does he mean by rivals here? So the Mufassirun rahimahullah, why are you setting up a competition against Allah? What does that mean? A competition is love of wealth. Same, meaning remember we said, why did I give you a scenario of what u'budu means at the beginning? Right? If you made that same worship, love of wealth, you are made a rival with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that u'budu is making you do what, if you're doing that to wealth, that worship that we said at the beginning, and this is why I said at the beginning, act, we're not talking about act of worship, we're talking about worship in its primal sense. Right? If it's making you do love of wealth, love of money, takabbur, meaning your self, you know, you're thinking, somebody thinks of themselves as so great. The family, it could be so. It could be anything. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا. If anything is making andad, it's making andad against Allah. So do not make a competition. Do not make rivals with Allah. And that rivalry can be in the heart, remember. Because the heart is the essence of the place which does u'budu. This is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the heart is good, everything else is good. The actions are good. And this is why Allah is saying, we told you what the munafiqeen were like. We told you what the disbelievers were like. We showed you what the believers are like. We gave you these different qualities that they have within them. Right? Attributes that they have within them. So this is why now we're giving you a universal message. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not make rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, he relates, I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which evil deed is worst, is the worst in the sight of Allah? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to take an equal with Allah while Allah alone created you. You take something equal to Allah, whether it's creation, whether it's something, it could be wealth, as we said, it could be love of something, and you've made it that u'budu, you've made it such a reverence and awe that you, which you're meant to have for Allah, you've taken it for this. And this is why Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala relates that, do you know Allah's rights on his servants? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, do you know Allah's rights on his servants? Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they must worship him alone and refrain from associating anything with him in worship. And this is why Allah azza wa jal here in this verse, and we finish off with this verse now, we are finished that we are meant to only worship Allah. And this is why now after Ramadan we will carry on with this. So next week we will read a few hadith on the virtues of Ramadan, as Ramadan will be very close by then. In the next verse, after all of this, you say, I'm not going to accept. Right? I'm not going to accept. So the next verse will come. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ. Okay, you don't want to accept? Fine. You know what we have revealed to you? Or what we have revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You think you're so intellect, so great. Bring a verse like this. A challenge from Allah azza wa jal. We've told you to do u'budu of Allah. Still don't want to do it? Then bring a verse like this. And this challenge is until, as we said, until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah give us ability to understand, ability to amal. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakti ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma a'inna ala thikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Allahumma rabbi ij'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Wa salli Allahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.